week where we give thanks here in the United States. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We're not going to be thankful for that super committee because they're raising the white flag. They'll officially announce that on Monday. But we do have the smart cops and FBI to thank for cracking down on lone wolf nutballs who are trying to pierce the bubble in New York City. The latest one, 27 years old, and he picked up an Al-Qaeda manual on how to pull off bombs in the Western world, and the plot was to go after soldiers. How sad is that? And apparently the 27-year-old that I'm talking about, Jose Pimentel, was from the Dominican Republic, but really grew up in the United States and really in Manhattan. So where is all this venom inside of him being built up? And he said it was about the wars that were being fought and what was happening off of our shores in the Middle East, apparently. So for a year he'd been watched. He was spewing all kinds of angry, hateful, jihadist-type things. And then he got serious because he was assembling some pipe bombs. So the cops swooped in and arrested him late on Saturday, made the big announcement on Sunday. So just another one bites the dust. We'll see what he gets and how this all comes down. But he's been charged already with a couple of counts of a terrorist act. So bravo to the people in New York, especially the commissioner there, Ray Kelly, because I think he has the hardest job of all in trying to keep a lid, rather, on things in that city when you know it's a big, fat target for everybody, not just Al-Qaeda wannabes or any of that. I mean, you know, pick your poison. There are certainly enough people that try to go after the Big Apple and try to take a nasty bite out of it, so to speak. A lot of blame game going on when it comes to the super committee that's failed. As I said, they're going to raise the white flag. Rahm Emanuel has his own little war going on with the GOP, and he got down and dirty and compared this week the turkeys to what he thinks the real turkeys are of a different variety and not the party that he's a part of as mayor of Chicago.
Well, we meet here tonight. The Republicans are having a debate across town. Now, I don't know about you, but I've watched a couple of those debates. I've got to be honest. I never thought I'd say this. I'm beginning to miss the wisdom of Sarah Palin. Their debate was called the Thanksgiving Family Forum, which is fitting, because I've never seen a greater collection of turkeys. I want you to look at the top of their candidate. Take Mitt Romney. He said he'd be in Iowa tonight. We should have known he'd change his mind. Newt was at the debate. He had to leave early. He had to run back to his most important people, the salespeople at Tiffany's. Kane and Rick Perry arrived a little late. They were in their tutorial class. Where's Libya?
All right, so Rahm Emanuel poking a little fun, criticizing Romney, saying that he turns a blind eye, besides what he said there, to the middle class, and, of course, defending Obama and his reelection effort. That's not a surprise. He was giving the keynote address, that's what you heard there, a little slice of it, to the Iowa Democrats at Saturday night's Jefferson Jackson dinner in Des Moines. And that's why he was going after the Republicans, because it, as he mentioned, they were there for a different reason. What's interesting is a poll that came out last week showed that Romney would beat President Obama in a head-to-head general election match, or pretty close, 51 to 47%. So if it were to be Mitt Romney, that's just one poll and one of many to come in this next year. And, of course, there's a slew of candidates, as Rahm Emanuel mentioned, taking a jab at a few of them there. All right, speaking of Mitt Romney, he got a big endorsement over the weekend in New Hampshire, and he had plenty to say when it came to taxes, because after all, a lot of the conversation these days is about money and what's in your wallet.
I don't believe that raising revenues is the right answer to balancing our budget. I believe the right answer for balancing our budget is cutting taxes. So I will not endorse any plan that raises revenues, raises taxes. What I will endorse is a plan that cuts spending and reforms our entitlements for future generations to make sure they're sustainable. I don't want to change or cut our Medicare or Social Security programs for current retirees or near retirees, but I want to make sure that we can honor our promises that are made to the coming generations. So my view is there'll be a lot of give and take of different proposals coming out. I will not support any proposal based upon increasing taxes or revenues. I will, however, support proposals that are focused on reducing spending.
All right, spending, that's the name of the game, but not for everybody. There is still the press for taxes and some spending cuts. The bottom line is the super committee is not going to do anything. The automatic trigger will kick in. The cuts won't happen until 2013, and we move on from there and decide who's going to be the next president. Is it the current guy in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, or will it be someone else? And what is it that we really, really need in this country? What we need is a major overhaul when it comes to some of the economic policies we now have, or the lack of policies. You know, there's massive government intervention in areas where it shouldn't be, and then where there should be some government oversight, I'll call it, there isn't any. It's like the big story that blew up last week about insider trading and how easy it is for people that are in Congress to use the information that they have and turn it into gold because they know what's going to happen with some of these IPOs and whatnot. Now, nobody's going to get nailed for that because there's a way to dance around that, which has been going on for a long time. Where's the oversight there? Should that even be? Should they be allowed to be in those positions? Because ultimately, they have a treasure trove of information available to them. And you think they wouldn't talk to a broker and have that information available or just do it themselves? They can do $7 a trade on any of the services that any of us would possibly use. So I think it's a little tricky. Red tape in the wrong place and not enough red tape where it should be. If that's the same old thing that we've seen for decades on end. All right, coming up on the flip side of this, the Occupy movement, where are we at now? Some brutal things happened over the weekend, a terrible pepper spraying incident at one college campus that has led to two officers being put on leave as they should have been. It's pretty tough to defend the video. As much as I stick up for cops plenty of times here, I just don't think he can do it. We'll talk about that next. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Nick Wadena with Midas Resources. If you have an IRA or 401k, did you know you can turn that nest egg into a physical gold and silver nest egg? Do you know what kind of specific precious metals are allowed by law to be in retirement accounts? Did you know that you can take physical delivery of these precious metals? Would you like to know more? It's a fact. Stocks and mutual funds have been a wild ride, and many people's retirement funds have taken large hits. If you put $100,000 in gold in January of 2009, it would be worth over $200,000 today. If you put $100,000 in silver, then it would be worth over $300,000 today. As bailouts for banks and the seemingly endless printing of money continues worldwide, the value of the dollar could decline further, in turn possibly pushing gold and silver much, much higher. Protect what you work so hard for. Call me, Nick Wadena, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343, and learn what your options are. Again, that's 1-800-686-2237, extension 343. Once again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have a long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the Brick Pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP Brick Packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
OWS, Occupy Wall Street. It's been over 2 months, and there's opinions all over the board, especially from the people who listen to America Tonight. That means you, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, you. You might have your head on the pillow right now. You're trying to sleep, and you're listening to my voice. And I'm wondering if you've passed by any of the occupiers in your neck of the woods, because it's really everywhere. I've said this before, but it's true. Just take Occupy and put it in front of any city almost. Sometimes it's a small group, sometimes it's a bigger group. The biggest group, of course, is pretty much in New York. But a California university had to place two cops on administrative leave. Why? Because you wouldn't believe what they did. They pepper sprayed some passively sitting protesters. What were they thinking? I don't understand why they did that. Unless they just got frustrated about something. Somebody yelled something or something happened, but I don't know what the defense would that for that would be, and you could clearly see what they were doing because it's all over the place. Just go to YouTube, and they're just spraying it in the face of these kids going up and down and spraying them twice, actually. So there's a lot of fallout, as you can imagine, from what happened at the UC Davis campus on Friday. But it's appalling to see those images. I mean, it is, because it's not, I mean, any amount of pepper spray wouldn't be good. But it looks like they're being zapped by almost like a laser if you see it from far away. Those students were peaceful. They were abiding by the law. They were having a little sit-in, and it was very, very peaceful, more than any of the Occupy stuff we've seen anywhere. And apparently what they were doing at UC Davis was they were sticking up for the people who were protesting on the Berkeley campus, and you clearly can see that there's one cop in riot gear just going up and down the line, and the people have their arms intertwined. So that's all they're doing. And I'm sure the idea was they're trying to clear them out, just saying get up or whatever, and they weren't getting up, and that and felt like that's what we need to do. But that was extreme. I mean, come on. So for the police to methodically pepper spray these passive folks that were peacefully protesting, they're just asking for trouble. And it was in support of the movement overall, but also what happened at Berkeley, because at Berkeley some people were jabbed with batons and stuff a week or so ago, and 9 people had to be treated. 2 were taken to the hospital and then released, because if you've ever had pepper spray anywhere near you, you know how potent it can be. And in Oakland, they didn't make any arrests after protesters left a new encampment that they had set up. There were about 20 tents that were thrown up, and they've seen a lot of different things happen in that area, just like in New York. It's gone from it's okay sometimes to, full on, you got to get out of here or you are going to be in trouble. And in the Occupy movements, now people that are being blocked from getting to work, people who are being blocked from getting to their apartments or houses, are starting to speak out that they're sick of it. Listen to this one angry resident in Oakland.
If they try to occupy this area, the police are going to prevent them from doing it. However, if they were successful in occupying this area, I believe you would have a dirty, disgusting, filthy tent city filled with crime, drugs, drug dealing, rats, and disease, just like you did in downtown Oakland.
Ooh. That's not support for the Occupy movement. And see, that's part of the problem of what is happening now in some of the places where the people have set up those camps, and that's why you see the clearing out. Even Newt Gingrich, who is starting to rise in the polls on the Republican side, trying to nab that Republican ticket right from underneath Mitt Romney or whoever else stands in his way, Newt Gingrich was asked about the Occupy Wall Street folks. And he said that, kind of similar to what that guy there was saying, you could hear that he didn't want any parts of that. Gingrich basically said to the occupiers, why don't you take a bath and get a job? So not everybody is embracing OWS. And he was in Des Moines when he was talking about that, along with some other Republicans. And he's saying all of the Occupy movements start with the premise that we owe them everything. And what he went on to say is they take over a public park they didn't pay for, to go nearby, to go to bathrooms they didn't pay for, to beg for food from places they don't want to pay for, to instruct those who go to work to pay the taxes to sustain the bathrooms and the park so they can self-righteously, this is his quote, proclaim that they are the paradigms of virtue for which we owe everything. And that is a good symptom of how much the left has collapsed as a moral system in this country, and why you need to assert something as simple as saying to them, go get a job right after you take a bath. Wow. See, I think it's a mixed bag. I don't think you can blanket that with everybody who's protesting. I think there are truly some people that are protesting that feel like they're getting screwed, feel like they're part of the 99%, like so many of us are, where we're talking about the fact that the rates are wrong and they're raising taxes, the possibility of that, what that would do. One of my bigger concerns is they talk about, these tax loopholes. Well, the tax loopholes they're talking about shutting down would affect so many that are listening to this show. We're talking about child credits and the mortgage that you write a piece of it off, whether it's a small piece, because it's never going to be the whole, it's not the whole thing, but it doesn't matter. In the balance sheet, you get a break that's, I think, necessary for a lot of people, and those people are mostly the people that occupy a thing called the middle class. And I still believe and agree with Gingrich, and if you're out there and you're doing what some of these people are doing at some of these spots across the country, then you're a subtraction to the process. If you want to really occupy something, the thing to do is to bombard whoever your congressperson is, your senator is, to go to Washington. If you had tens and thousands of people that went to Washington, you want to cause a blockade, a gridlock, let my voices be heard, not just on the weekend, on one day, where you go and there's enough people that you can be there for a couple of days, be there for a week. Trust me, people will pay attention to what's happening then, even more than now. Some of the people who have protested, including in Oakland, have gone to the banks like Bank of America or wherever, and I think that's a smart step in the right direction. And that stopped, partially that stopped the whole fee thing, because Bank of America was horrified when they realized that customers were dropping like flies when they were going to smack another $5 fee onto people who used an ATM card every month. And that adds up by the time you get through an entire year. Just one little tiny thing, but one fee that was eliminated because there was enough voices screaming out that they didn't want to pay that. And if more things were targeted like that, like the bank example, I think you would see a real movement. You would see some change. In the case of what's happening now, I agree that it's more about, hey, you want to be here in this park, you want to partake in these events, but yet you're using facilities that are paid for by people who are just like you, who have a job, and they're not making that much loot, but their taxes are paying for all of this. He has a very, very good point mixed in there. All right, coming up on America Tonight, before we skedaddle at the end of the hour, pay close attention to my pal, pharmacist Ben Fuchs. He's got some great examples of power foods you can eat if you're concerned and trying to cut back on calories and trying to get healthier. We've been talking about this now for a couple of months, and his suggestions are great. You'd be surprised the things that you can put together instead of eating that same old fast food cheeseburger or Taco Bell or any of the other stuff that you're eating when you're just swamped and don't feel like cooking or whatnot. Here's an easy solution, and especially when we're coming upon Thanksgiving, because, you know, there's that tendency to really overeat, that tryptophan, crazy sleep that you get rolled into, and then you go for seconds, and we're on that food slide right now, starting this Thursday. Stay with us.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com, spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com, or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355. 213-405-5355. 5355 or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the Maine name in military supply.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Las Vegas.
Now, also available in digital format at Amazon and iTunes worldwide.
Don't come calling when your walls start falling down.
Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas.
The Las Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
And iTunes.
Tonight, I'll tell you what, you know, we've been talking about this so much. Now, where are we with the super committee? Come on, 8 days. And, oh, the outcry from Washington that we're going to forego Turkey and the trimmings, and we're going to stay here, and we're going to come up with some kind of a deal, to slice out $1.2 trillion. Yeah, right. We knew heading into this that it's what's going to happen here is you're going to be talking about taxes, and trying to figure out a way to make that more palatable to the American people. Phil Kirpin joins us now. He's the VP of Policy at Americans for Prosperity. Hey, Phil, thanks for jumping on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You just did an article, and I happened to see it, too, because, of course, all eyes are on Politico after all the Herman Cain stuff. I think people who weren't – I was always a reader.
They don't deserve the traffic, but they are getting it.
They are getting it. So yours was, the answer is spend less, period. Bravo. I think it's that simple. It's like a tweet, what you just said there. Why does this argument not wash with you either? And you spelled it out there. Why doesn't it wash with you that we have to tax because you can't do one or the other? Why does this keep being thrust out there from the Democrats?
Well, I mean, any reasonable person who looks at the federal budget situation sees that the federal government is spending way too much. Not that we're sending them too little in tax revenue, but in Washington, it's hard to cut any spending ever because every spending program has got all kinds of lobbyists. It's got the people who directly benefit from it. It's got, you know, any spending program you try to touch, it's got hundreds and hundreds of people who will howl about how outrageous it is that you would possibly touch their program. And on the other side, unfortunately, taxpayers have not been organized enough to stand up for their interests. And the, you know, Washington for years has played this game where they spend all this money we don't have, they borrow to cover it, and they just say, yeah, sooner or later, there's so much of the deficit will be built up, we'll be able to raise taxes and stick taxpayers for the bill. And this is what's been going on. I think, you know, if you look at the projection, with no tax increases at all, just from an economic recovery, if we ever have the policies that will allow one, I think that'll probably take a change in the presidency. But just an economic recovery, we'll have revenues above the historical average. So the problem is not that tax rates are too low or that we need to have a tax hike. The problem is spending at the federal level as a percentage of the economy has gone from 20% to 25% over the past couple of years. That means that one out of every $4 of production in the U.S. now is consumed by federal government spending, totally out of line with historical norms. The solution has to come from where the problem is. We don't want to bring taxes up to make this level of spending permanent. We want to bring spending back down to historical norms, if not below them, I dare to dream. But that is what we really need to do, and unfortunately, I'm very concerned about what's been going on in this super committee because even the Republicans on the super committee are offering tax hikes. Even the most conservative member of the super committee, Pat Toomey, reportedly offered a deal with $300 billion of additional taxes. And, you know, someone might think, oh, well, if we could get a bunch of spending cuts and if it could be 3-to-1 or 4-to-1, it's a good deal. You know, that is a game that the Democrats always offer to trick Republicans. And Reagan fell for it. The first Bush fell for it. You agree to these deals, you get the tax hikes, none of the spending cuts that were promised ever actually happen. And more to the point, if we're trying to cut spending, as I say we must, increasing taxes is actually at cross purposes with that. Because if you give them more money, they'll spend the more money we give them. So it doesn't help us solve the problem, which is spending. So I'm pretty upset right now, not optimistic about this super committee. I think the best outcome would be if this thing just fails and they get the automatic cuts, the trigger mechanism, because anything they can agree to at this point, I fear, is going to be a pretty bad deal.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that the trigger is just going to fall. And for me, this was partially about show, because after all, if I'm a politician and I'm running for reelection, I have to make people think I'm really doing something. So we need this bipartisan cooperation. I'll set up the super committee. You pick the players. I say this is what we do. We have the Democrats. We have the Republicans. And geez, I gave them all this time. When in reality, and you probably know this, Phil, I was talking to some people in Washington the other day, and they haven't even had full-on meetings. It's just been sort of meetings in the hallways, a couple of people meeting here and there, geez, maybe down at Starbucks or in the lunchroom, but they haven't had these full-on meetings. I think that there's this myth that they're there for hours just pounding away at this and not doing anything else.
Well, I think that if they do report something out, it probably won't be something that was actually negotiated by the super committee members. It'll be something that the leadership of the House and Senate agree to. And, you know, I've heard that Boehner has been in negotiations with Max Baucus's people, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, on various different tax hikes that the Republican House leadership would find acceptable. That is completely unacceptable to me, and I think to almost all of the grassroots conservative activists who think they're the reason that Boehner is the speaker. And so, you know, if some kind of sellout deal comes together with a bunch of tax hikes and Boehner puts a stamp of approval on it, I think he will kind of seal his fate as speaker. I think it'll be a political disaster for Republicans to have it put any fingerprints on any tax hike of any kind. That's not what the American people want. And, you know, we're going to keep a close eye. We're going to find out what happens here in the next week when they reach their deadline. But just the whole idea that the Republicans would go into this and say we're willing to raise certain taxes under certain conditions, I think is a big problem in terms of the way the Republican brand is going to set up for the next election. Because, you know, Republicans, frankly, historically, have not been very good on spending. You know, the Democrats and Republicans have both spent way, way too much. But Republicans have been the party you could vote for and know, well, you know, whatever else stupid stuff they do, they're not going to raise my taxes. And if you don't even have that, I mean, I don't know what they have. I mean, really, it's going to destroy the brand if they agree to tax hikes.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well said. And I think the other thing here, too, for people listening across the country all over the place, and nobody wants to hear that about raising taxes, like you say, at least you could count on that, for goodness sake. There's, and you, I think you set it up this way right in the beginning, there is this, I don't know, push to confuse everybody, to say that, okay, we got this, the tax hike group, they're kind of confusing it, mixing it all up in the same bowl with tax reform. And in fact, and you talk about this, when we talk about tax loopholes, what's the biggest misconception there?
Well, a lot of people think, you know, there are all these terrible provisions in the code, these abusive various credit deductions, loopholes, et cetera, that lobbyists have got put in over the years. Let's just get rid of them all, which is right, but it's only half the story. You got to get rid of them all, but you need to cut tax rates at the same time so that everyone benefits instead of just individual companies that have had lobbying and so on. You want to take the value of those special provisions and spread them out to lower taxes for everyone. That's what a genuine tax reform does. If you just get rid of all the special provisions and you don't spread that benefit out among everyone by lowering the rates, it ends up being a huge tax hike on the economy as a whole and giving more money to government to spend at a time where we need to be cutting spending. And so it's good to get rid of all of these corrupt provisions in our code. I think we would all agree with that. But you can't just get rid of them and not spread the value of it around by lowering the rates for everyone. If you do that, it's a big tax hike. And it could reach a lot more people than you might think, because a lot of the provisions of the code that we're all used to benefiting from, things like the child credit and the mortgage interest deduction, those are considered tax expenditures. Those are considered part of the mix of things that they might get rid of. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I count on the child credit, count on the mortgage deduction. You know, I don't know if I could really afford my home without the mortgage deduction. So if you're getting rid of things like that, you better be lowering my tax rate overall or having some other benefit to get rid of it, not just having more money go to government. That's not a tax reform. That's a tax hike.
Yeah, I agree with you. The mortgage thing would be crippling to so many people. I would not be happy with that. Absolutely not. And I wonder how many people wouldn't be able to afford their homes. You know, in the article that was published in Politico, the piece, there were a group of you, and you, of course, as we mentioned, you're the VP for Policy of Americans for Prosperity. Grover Norquist was also part of this. He's the president of Americans for Tax Reform. What do you think? I got to ask you this because his name keeps coming up. Senator Harry Reid, it's like he should wear a button. This is Grover's fault. They're talking about this. What do you think about that, that his name keeps popping up all over the place and they're just sort of trying to lay it at his doorstep?
Well, you know, Grover does something that I think is a great service to the country, and that is when candidates are running for office, he offers them a pledge to sign. And the pledge basically says, I will not raise taxes. It says that if I eliminate deductions and exemptions and loopholes, I will cut rates. The exact same discussion we were just having. It says, I will not vote for net increases in taxes. And a lot of candidates have signed on to that over the years, and that's because voters have come to demand it. I mean, voters want to have some written assurance that their taxes won't go up when they vote for someone. And now a lot of these politicians who, you know, as I said, you know, it's politically difficult to cut spending. A lot of these politicians who do not want to make the tough decisions and do what they were elected to do and govern by cutting spending, they want to fall back on the crutch of just going to taxpayers like an ATM and getting more money from them. Now, the problem they have is they signed this pledge and they promised the voters that they wouldn't do that. And so a lot of the politicians now are trying to pretend that the pledge was just a promise to Grover and Grover should release them from that obligation so that they can raise taxes. But in truth, the pledge is offered by Grover. He does the country the service of collecting it and, you know, coordinating it and you know, tabulating who signed it and so forth. But it's a pledge made to voters. And any politician who breaks it will have to stand for re-election and explain why they put in writing that they wouldn't raise taxes and then turned around and did raise taxes. And so I think a lot more is being made of sort of Grover's role in this than probably should be. It's not like he could release people from their pledge even if he wanted to, but the promise they made to voters, and I expect voters will be the ones to hold people accountable if they break that pledge.
Sure, I agree with you. And, of course, they wanted to sign the pledge because they wanted it pumped out there so they could count on some votes.
Of course. I mean, that's the whole point. If you want to assure people you're not going to raise their tax.
Yeah, exactly. Great conversation, Phil Kirpin. Thanks so much. Spend less, period. I like it. Thanks.
My pleasure.
You have storable food, filtered water, even shelter, but do you have a way to start a fire immediately? Now you can with InstaFire, a revolutionary, safe, simple, and versatile fire starter. InstaFire is a patented blend of volcanic rock, wood pellets, and paraffin wax that gets the fire blazing in just minutes. So just add water to your survival food and enjoy a hot meal in no time. InstaFire is self-sustaining fire and even starts right on top of snow or water or in any severe weather, even 40-mile-per-hour crosswinds. Sound incredible? It is. Check it out at InstaFire.com. A must for any preparedness kit, InstaFire easily lights with matches or flintlock lighters, is environmental family-friendly, stores easy with a 30-year shelf life, is lightweight, comes in a variety of sizes, and starts at $1.25 for a single pack, or only $59.95 for a 5-gallon pail with free shipping. Go to Instafire.com, spelled I-N-S-T-A-Fire.com, or call 888-482-4868. That's 888-482-4868. Safe, simple, versatile. Instafire.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Beyond Tangy Tangerine. Does that sound familiar for anyone? A lot of you have been writing me notes and asking me, what is the deal with Beyond Tangy Tangerine? What's it about? All that stuff. And I've mentioned this, that in the last, I guess now it's been maybe 2.5 months, something like that, I've been taking Beyond Tangy Tangerine. And I'm buying the product, and it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. In fact, it's really cheap, 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 because it's about the minerals that I'm getting, because I never took anything before. I took no vitamins, none of that stuff. And then I ran into Ben Fuchs when I was in New York City, the pharmacist that you've heard me talk about. And he walked down the street with me and he was giving me a lecture about what are you doing? And, you know, you need to take vitamins. You need to get healthy. You don't want to be one of those statistics. And seriously, he was right. So we've had him on the show now for probably the last couple of months, talking about the benefits of nutrition and the misinformation, actually, that's out there. And I think he is dead on, and that's why we're doing it. And that's why so many of you are asking questions, because you don't want to fall into the diabetes trap. You don't want to keep walking around with your Buddha bellies and starving yourself to death, or doing some other form of a diet where you're not really seeing the results. He's in the wings right now, Ben, and I think he's eating a power food. Somebody told me that, because we have our camera trained on you in our virtual green room. Do you have a? Are you eating? You're not eating a cheeseburger.
You see me in my little skivvies I'm wearing? My little shirt? No, I'm just kidding. I'm not eating a cheeseburger. I have a power food I'm going to tell you about. I got two power foods I'm doing right now. Actually, three. I'll tell you what those are in a second. But you were saying something so cool about how you were not the kind of person who's just falling apart. It's like you had your little flu, you got the flu every now and again or whatever, but your body, you're falling apart here, right?
No.
And so what the point I want to make is that we feel like if we're not falling apart, we're good. That's the level. We set the bar so low. Well, I'm not falling apart. And I'm saying that when you start to experience what is what you're capable of, the power, the energy, the zest for life, the passion, the quality of life, quality of relationships, quality of brain power, things that you can achieve above and beyond just being okay when you start to do this stuff. It really is a mind blower, and you never want to go back to the old way again. And I think you and I focus on this weight thing, and a lot of people focus on the weight thing. It's not just you and I. But really, the side benefits are, number one, you're going to feel a heck of a lot better. And number two, you're not going to have to interface with the medical model the way your average person does. That means you won't be going to the doctor all the time. You won't be going to the pharmacy all the time. You won't be spending $100 a month or more on your prescription drugs. And on top of that, you'll have the benefit of feeling great. It's a no-brainer. And then the weight loss, which is great, that just comes with the territory. That just comes with the territory. That's the gravy. It's not even the focus. That just happens once you start to do this stuff. And that, to me, is the most powerful idea, that this is really about feeling great. Even if you're not falling apart, you can still feel great. You can bound out of bed with energy, and you can not have to worry when your neighbor catches a cold that you're breathing in his viruses or his bacteria.
Yeah, and you said it, because I don't want to be one of those people that ends up at the doctor. I've seen too many people like that, and they spend, and you know what, too, here's the thing, they spend a fortune on prescriptions, then get upset because they don't understand why, and then they're trying to figure out generics, and I can't relate to that, Ben, because I've never been in that situation. So when we accidentally bumped into each other, I didn't want to become that person. I didn't want to eventually look down the road and say, geez, she's cute. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, she looks like she's okay. Mm-hmm. And then have the wheels fly off, because that's what happens.
Right.
It's like a car. Right. It's like a car that you have no maintenance on and it looks great on the outside.
Exactly.
And then the wheels fall off. It costs you a fortune. And I didn't want to be that person. So that's how we ended up hooking up. And you know, you turned me on to especially Beyond Tangy Tangerine. Now, you got to tell us, because this is a tease, and anyone listening is saying, well, what's a power food? I think power bar. It's not a power bar.
I'll say what the power food is in a second. There's three of them, and they're very important. But I was going to say, shucks, I forgot what I was going to say. Something about what you said. Oh, well, that's going to have to put that one away for a second, and I'm going to tell you what power foods are. Remember I told you about satiety buttons, satisfaction buttons, right?
Yeah.
Your satisfaction buttons are fat and salt and protein. That's what your brain's reading, fat, salt, and protein. So you want to find yourself combinations of fat, salt, and protein. Now, protein can be substituted for sweets, but you don't want to go there. You can do fat, sweets and protein are interchangeable to the body's needs for the satiety button. So you want to do protein over sweets at all times. If you don't do protein, protein is expensive, but if you don't do protein at all times, you'll end up eating sweets instead of protein, and you'll end up with a combination of sweets, fat, and salt. And if you think about all the foods you love, Katie, they're sweet, they're fatty, oily, and they're salty.
Yes.
Those are the three hot buttons that food processors know. But the problem is while these satiety centers or these appetite centers are stimulated by fat, salt, and sweet, your drives are stimulated, you don't get satisfied by the artificial fats and salt and sweet, and you end up eating out of control to try to get satiety, to try to get satisfaction, and your brain just doesn't get the satisfaction. So what you want to do is you want to find foods that are provide minerals for salt, that provide good fats for fat, and that provide protein for sweet. And then you won't want the french fry. You follow what I'm saying? You want to redirect those drives to real food that hit the satiety center.
Yes.
And nuts and avocados are my two favorite sources of fat. And I was happened to have been eating cashews, which are an amazing source of fat, very rich fat, and a great source of minerals. And if you sprinkle salt on them, you get salt, and they're also a good source of protein. So cashews are an amazing power food. They hit all of your satiety buttons. And you can't eat a lot of them, and especially if you try the raw ones where the fats haven't been cooked, really. Even mm-hmm. the roasted ones, you could still get that benefit. So go get yourself some cashews. They're better than any other nuts because they're fattier than any other nuts, but it's a good kind of fat. And then avocados are another amazing source of fat, and if you sprinkle sea salt on your avocado, you get a wonderful source of minerals and fat as well as sugar. Avocados have carbohydrates in them. So you get a good sugar and you get your minerals from the salt, especially sea salt, and you get your fat from the avocado, and it's extremely filling. You can only eat two of them if you put enough salt on it, and a handful of cashews. You do a handful of cashews, maybe a couple avocados, just cut them open and just sprinkle sea salt on them, and that is the most satisfying meal that hits all major food groups with the exception of possibly you could use a little whey protein to go with it because you don't get quite a lot of protein out of the nuts, but it's a great snack. And then I wash it all down with almond milk, all natural, unsweetened almond milk. The ingredients are nothing but almond milk and a little bit of starch and sea salt and some emulsifier, and that's it. And you can buy that at any grocery store for less than a buck, and it's so tasty. And it's a great source of protein, great source of good fat, great source of vitamins, and I wash it all down with fat. And you know what? That's all I need for dinner, Katie. And that's,
wow,
that's probably well under 300 calories. Well under 300 calories, maybe 350 calories. It's so filling, so satisfying, because it hits your satiety button. And if you really want to throw it, go with more protein, you can throw on a can of tuna fish for another 90 calories.
Wow, and I like that. Everything that you just said, I like. I love cashews, and I like avocados a lot.
Avocados are a bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then cashews are the best kind of nut.
Yeah. Wow, interesting.
Right.
What happens when, let's ask you this real quick. Of course we'll talk about this next week, but we're coming up on a break here for a lot of people because Thursday of next week is Thanksgiving. What can you eat at the Thanksgiving table?
Ooh, should we save it
turkey
for next week though?
Yeah, we should save it. But turkey will work.
Turkey you can have. Absolutely turkey. Turkey's a great source of protein. Try to go with don't eat a lot of it. Try to keep it organic if you can. I know that's happening a lot sometimes to you. But the birds are really fed. It's not the meat that's the problem. It's the bird, the way they're fed and the way they're processed. And I'd be really careful about a turkey from, like, that's a processed turkey from, like, one of these big processed farms where they inject them with things. I'd just be careful that way. But other than that, turkey's a good food. And when you're done with the carcass, well, we'll save it for next week. We should save that for next week.
All right, we'll save it for next week for sure.
Write that
I bet
down.
You have a,
don't forget. Write that down.
We'll write it down and make sure we tell all the people that. I want to tell everybody, too, to get Beyond Tangy Tangerine, go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. And you said it before, Ben, but I don't know if we even said it on the air because we have less than a minute, but quickly. It's a tax write-off for people if they end up paying the $10 for the business. I didn't know that.
Pay $10 for the business and get yourself a business. That means every time you mail a letter about the business, it's a tax write-off. Every time you drive to the post office to pick something up for the business, you get a tax write-off. And every time you give some of your product away as a sample, that's a business expense. Your product has now become a business expense if you give away some samples. Does that make sense? Follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, but and even if you just or ordering it, if you like it and you order it, I mean, that it's a win-win situation, technically.
It's a win-win. You get a tax write-off, you get supplements, you get a supplement that you're going to use. I mean, it's really a no-brainer when you think about all the benefits that you get once you understand how important it is to supplement. Thanks, Kate. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you, Pharmacist Ben. I appreciate it.